B-Pod Studios.
Got a text from my wife.
Yeah, you're Donna.
Donna already got you?
Yeah.
All right, well, just so you hear it from my mom here. This is from Eleanor.
Oh, no.
Hearing the meat talk. She has meat in quotation marks. Hearing the meat talk.
You mentioned it.
All right, it's my mom, you jerk. All right,
yeah,
here we go.
Jamie, knock it off.
By the way, Ala, when you were out last Friday, likes that drop.
What?
I played it for him.
Yeah, we played the drop.
I said, Ala, before I let you go here today, I got to let you know you're probably my favorite drop. And I go, if you're unaware, here it is. And I played it for him.
Uh-huh.
And there was like that 2 seconds of, oh no, is he going to laugh? And then he started cracking up. And I was like, all right, woo.
I like that, Ala Abdelnaby. So my mom says, hearing the meat talk. Oh my God. So hearing the meat talk, I was just getting ready to remind you heathens that no meat on Good Friday. If you forgot, in capital letters, conveniently, don't eat any more today. Finish your sandwich, Bob.
Don't waste food.
I added the stank on Bob.
Yeah.
Finish your sandwich, Bob, so you don't waste it. That's such a mom thing to say. So you don't waste it, but you may suffer indigestion. I'm just saying.
Shame.
Oh, my God. My mom has that's what she said in here.
What?
She goes, I'm just saying, she said.
Wow.
That's her way of saying that's what she said. Eleanor, I didn't know you had it in you. God bless you. Mom, I love you. 610-632-0975. 610-632-0975.
Bottom line is Bob's a heathen, though.
That is correct.
Okay.
The right. Burning in Hell, I believe, is also the next Texas.
Eternal damnation.
What a bad deal.
Have fun, Bob.
You're listening to 975 The Fanatic, WPN, Burlington, Philadelphia, broadcasting from the Xfinity Studio only from Comcast. 8 o'clock hour brought to you by Martin Law, the law firm for injured workers. Visit paworkinjury.com. This hour, we'll let you hear again. The highlights from last night's game is called by Tom McGinnis right here on 97.5, The Fanatic, last night. We went around the horn, talked about our Ben Simmons plays, and so far what we have loved to see so far from Ben Simmons in this playoff series. And again, further information, further evidence, rather, that this team has taken that step forward where they have started to click, even without Joel Embiid last night. And here's what you can say without Joel Embiid. There is that Superman mentality. We've talked about it a lot in football. When Carson Wentz went down, were people looking at it as, well, Superman's gone, now I got to be the hero. And everybody is pointing at themselves and trying to make themselves step up to be the hero of the game. Well, Nick Foles had been that guy, obviously, and the team rallied around him and all those things. You can say the same thing in almost any sport. It happened in hockey years ago. I remember when Eric Lindros went out with one of his concussions in the playoffs before he got knocked out again by Scott Stevens. He came back. The Flyers, as a team, were playing great. He came back, was their best player. Everybody else took a step backwards because of the Superman complex, the Superman mentality. Ben Simmons, Tobias Harris, J.J. Redick, Jimmy Butler. Without their Superman, they got to rely on some of their other super boys. I don't know. But there's some still very good talent on this basketball team. If they are known outside of the Golden State Warriors as the best starting five in basketball, guess what? You're going to have other guys you can lean on. And that's what happened in this game. If JoJo comes back, I think they'll click again. You might see him come back with a minute restriction, to use a phrase that's of years past, but he might come back with that because it seems like in the first two games that he played in this series, he was already playing with that minute restrictions. 23 minutes, 21 minutes logging in this game, in this series thus far. So if he does come back at all, you might be looking at that 20 to 25 minute plateau or peak that he'll be playing in this series anyway. If it's up to me, I think this team has it without him for this series. I still think they'll win out. They'll win the last two games, and they won't need him to play. Give him that rest. Make sure he's fresh as possible for the Toronto series.
I hear you, and I just want him. I don't know if the rest has done any good, though. That's what makes me nervous. I'd rather him get out there and fight through it, and even if it's a little sore or whatever, get yourself back into shape. The rest, as I said, I don't know what it's done. You know,
right.
He took those 8 games off, and ever since he took those 8 games off after the All-Star game, he played 4, then sat. Played 4 more, then sat. Played 2 more, then sat. Playoffs, played 2, and sat. Like, I don't know if rest is helping at this point, so maybe it's time to try something different. If it is indeed the tendonitis that they say it is, it appears it must be something more significant than that.
That's my big concern.
Yeah.
And maybe he wouldn't have even gotten those 20-some minutes in the first two games of this series if they didn't rest him. I don't know. Because it seems like they're being very secretive about this.
Yeah.
But almost more secretive than they need to be.
It's another injury mystery from the 76ers, something that's dogged them for the last 5, 6, 7 years, whatever it may be. It just seems like they can't really get it right. But the problematic thing with all this, like Jamie said, they have to learn how to do load management. Toronto did it with Kawhi Leonard this year. He played, meaning Joel Embiid, the first 26 games of the season. If you went into the season saying, you know, we got to do load management with the guy, is that the right way to go about it?
It doesn't seem like it.
You know, so played 26, missed one, then played 9, missed, then played 5, missed, then played 6, missed, then played 8, and then came the All-Star break. And then missed 8 more, then played 4, then missed, then played 4. You know, so...
Well, I mean, the Greg Monroe signing tells you everything that they think about his knee.
And the fact that, like, there was no talk over the last couple of days... I don't know. Yeah, it really is concerning. He was in street clothes until very late last night, which started the speculation that he wasn't going to play. Team comes out, says he's a game-time decision. Then he does take the floor. But as Devon and Dee were noting last night on the show, as they were looking, he wasn't jumping at all. He was shooting, but they were just stand-still shots. You know, he wasn't elevating at all. He wasn't really bending his knees. It's not good.
Yeah, no, it's definitely concerning. And by the way, I'm getting a tweet about it right now. We do not have the big green giveaway today. We don't have the cash holiday. We don't have the cash green. That's what it is.
We're the only ones working today, aren't we? Pretty much.
I don't know.
I don't think that many people have off today.
Yeah, but I know
you're just going to disagree with everything I say.
Well, I mean, I'm not the psycho that eats food? Sandwiches on plain white toast, Bob. That's highly concerning.
It's not plain white toast. I just want to plain white bread.
For the record, Anthony came in here yesterday and was talking about the pizza argument, and he was looking at me.
He agrees with you, I think.
No, he doesn't.
No, he absolutely doesn't.
No, but he kind of does.
No, he agrees with me. No, he agrees with me. He just doesn't know it yet.
Yeah, okay.
Because I said to him, we came in, he was talking about the plain pizza, and I said, no, it's not. I don't eat plain pizza. It's a waste of time. It's a wasted opportunity of plain pizza. And he looks at me and he goes, Mark, he's like, you've been to Italy? He's like, you've been to Italy? They have plain pizza? They have the cheese pizza with the marinara and the basil? And I go, you're talking about margarita pie.
Yeah, margarita's delicious.
I'll eat margarita pie all day.
It's not that far off, though.
It's 1,000 times off. Okay, look at me right now, okay?
Because we don't have fresh Italian basil on it.
I've never met so many people that have so many damn rules about
serious?
Food.
Are you serious? You're going to throw that at me? That
Jared Dudley's been eating a lot of it. 610-632.
That Metagon voice. Throw pizza.
It's got basil.
It's got fresh mozzarella. now you're getting...
I love margarita pizza.
I'm not going to mess with you because you're a wild man. You only had one sizzly today. But I'm telling you right now, the fresh basil, yes, you're right. And fresh the mozzarella, right? Fresh mozzarella, and then the nice tomato.
Yeah. Margarita is a fine item. So is a regular cheese pizza.
It's nothing like a regular cheese pizza.
But it's close.
It's fresh mozzarella.
I believe Anthony's real words were, "If you don't like a regular pie, you don't like pizza."
Well, he said the essence of, and I said, "You're talking about." I knew what he was talking about. He's talking about
you
margarita
Italians
pie
with your damn food. My God,
we like nice things.
All right, I didn't know that plain white bread on a sandwich was not a nice thing.
You know what? Now that I'm thinking about it, because the Good Friday and all that jazz, right? And no meat. I'm gonna go get a margarita pie today.
There you go.
See that?
Yeah.
You know what? Not a plain cheese pizza, a margarita pie. Which, by the way, fun fact, was the first pizza delivery ever. Did you know that?
Where? Chicago.
No, was it
America?
No, it was. It was Italy. Okay. It was like 1860-something.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, like the Queen Margarita, she wanted a snack but didn't want to get her hands dirty. So this guy's like, I got you. And he like goes to his like little bakery and he makes he makes the margarita pie.
Yeah.
And he's like, I got you. And he wanted to make a
did
pizza.
Did he ask her if she wanted sausage on it or anything?
No, she probably did that later. But he wanted to make it patriotic. So he had the green, the white, and the red for the Italian flag. And then he delivered it to where the king and queen of wherever the hell, heck, Italy probably, and gave it to them in Naples, I believe it was. And they're like, thank you. And they said, you're welcome. And then they said, it was outside 20 minutes, so it's free. That's what they said.
By the way, I just got a text from Eileen Lynch, not too happy with me talking about the meat.
Yeah. Yeah, you're busting on me, but you're in there eating.
What? Get it together, Bob.
I was going to say scarfing down sausage.
Look at our moms talking about meats. Gino, Kenneth Square, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. What's up, Gino?
What's going on, guys? How you doing today?
Good, man. Sixers won. So, we're feeling good.
I know. I wanted to just hit on what Bob mentioned just a little bit ago. Joel Embiid playing like two, three games, I'm needing a break. Obviously, I have no idea how the body needs to recover or what goes on with that. But I kind of wonder, like, are they almost in essence like training his body to seek out the rest? Like, you play those two, three games, and your body's kind of saying to itself, man, I need that rest right now. And he's just not able to even push through it. So I think it's a really, really big concern because they are absolutely going to need Embiid, I think, even just to finish off this series for one. But going through everything that they're going through with Embiid, I think Brett Brown's doing a great job right now. And I just wanted to ask you guys, like, does this change this? There seems to be this black and white take on Brett Brown. Like, he's got to get past the second round or he's gone. I'm kind of wondering, like, after everything he's doing right now in this series, does that change the mark for him? And the other part of it is, I don't even understand why that would be the mark originally of he's got to get past the second round. So I guess it's two-part for you guys. Do you think that this changes the mark on him? And I also don't understand why that was even the mark to begin with.
Yeah, because that was how far you got last year. And then you added this amount of talent, so you want your coach to take. Now, look, it's like, I love when people act like your team is the only team that's allowed to make acquisitions or improve throughout a season.
Exactly.
Like the Raptors made moves, too. They added one of the best players in the league in Kawhi Leonard. The Sixers have a great starting five. The Raptors are a very deep team, and defensively, they play sound basketball. I hate when people act like you're the only one that's allowed to get better, and that's how a lot of people are treating this. Now, I'm going to give you my prediction as to what's going to happen. Not what I feel should happen, but my prediction is they will advance to the second round. They will lose in the second round in a hard-fought series, and Brett Brown keeps his job. That's what I think is going to happen. But I think in a lot of people's minds, they're saying, no, flat out, if he loses in the second round, he's out. I have to see how that series plays out. My gut tells me it's not going to play out well, and Brett Brown, for me, would be done. But for the team, I don't see Elton Brand coming in his first year, trading a number one overall pick and firing a head coach.
Yeah, I totally agree with that. And that's what frustrates me, too. We almost like live in this vacuum. We don't realize that Milwaukee actually got better just because they're, you know, Giannis got significantly better this year. Toronto added an elite defender. They have a great team as well. I mean, Toronto actually got better. The Celtics added Kyrie back, Gordon Hayward back. They're going to get better as the playoffs go along, too. So it's always weird to me that we think that just because we got to one spot in the playoffs last year and we added players, that we're the only team, like you said, Mark, that got better. So I just hope that people start to consider what's going on with this Nets series, what goes on with other teams, and evaluate everything as a whole instead of being so quick to judge Brett Brown on just this black and white decision of having to get to the second round. So that's all I just wanted to say. And, I appreciate you letting me hop on.
Absolutely, Gino. Appreciate it, man. Bob, I know a lot of people look at it like that. I mean, yes, the Sixers got better. They added pieces throughout the season. But, you know, other teams are allowed to make moves, too.
Yeah, no question about it. And, you know, we were talking earlier in the 5 o'clock hour with this Brett Brown stuff. You wonder if his own success, quicker than you thought it was going to come last year, has been kind of a detriment to him. You know, because if you think about it, and there was a press conference last year before the season started. It was after they drafted Markelle Fultz. I'm walking out. Brett pulls me aside. We're talking for a little bit, and he said, "What are you going to write?" And I said, "I'm kind of thinking, you know, this, whatever." And he said, "I wish you would write that the expectations are like really high." He said, "If we can win if we could go 500 this year and get these kids around in the playoffs, I would be ecstatic." And that's what the benchmark should be. Well, lo and behold, they win 52. They get to the playoffs. They win a series in the playoffs. You know, all that stuff happens. So you kind of elevate the expectations a year in advance. And that's where we are. It could be a detriment to Brett Brown that they had that success last year.
No, a little bit. 610-632-0975. Wide open board for you. If you want to get out, now is the time for you. Gino cleared out the board for us. 610-632-0975. Do you want to see Joel Embiid the rest of this series? Would you play him again? Do you think this group of the Sixers has it from here in this series? Or do you want to see him come back in? And then also, our Twitter poll today, brought to you by Window Nation, is whether or not you see this Sixers team win the next two games and closing out this series. Is it all Sixers from here on out? 610-632-0975. Coming up, as we've been doing at every bottom of the hour, we've been giving you the highlights from last night's game. Top of the hour, 9 o'clock, we'll let you hear from Devon Givens. Of course, we'll be doing the pregame show Saturday with these fine gentlemen, Jamie Lynch and Bob Cooney. Right now, you know what? I told you guys, my wife and I, we just bought our first house. We're extremely excited. Now, here's the deal. I've been a guy who's lived in an apartment in Philly for 10 years almost now, if not more. God, I couldn't wait. I grew up with a father that was extremely hands-on, was a man that could fix things, very handy around the house. I can't wait to work on my house. And when I do, you know where I'm going for that equipment to do so? Hollids. I'm going to Hollids True Value. And why am I doing that? Because no matter what I need, Hollids has it. If you just bought a home, if you're working on a home, you need to do some work around the house, whatever, Hollids has it. You need something, Hollids has it. Remember that. Make sure you stop by 700 Ridge Pike in Lafayette Hill and pick up what you need. And why? Because Hollids has it. Hollids True Value has everything I need to make my new home, my new yard, whatever, an extension of my living space. Big plants, small plants, perennials, annuals, Hollids has it. Pavers, pottery, pesticide, Hollids has it. Gas grills, charcoal grills, smokers, yard games, pit, fire pits, equipment rentals, Hollids has it. Hand tools, power tools, garden tools, Hollids has it. All this stuff, everything. They even have experts that will help walk you through everything. Real experts, and it's one-stop shopping as well. So many great places to go into, and let me tell you this. You know what's great? Because it's run by a family. It's a family-owned business, family-run business. They take care of their family. They'll take care of you when you walk in there. Hollids has it. Visit Hollids True Value and Garden Center, located at 700 Ridge Pike in Lafayette Hill, and you tell them Farzetta sent.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Time of the Fanatic, 8:16. So damn time. Welcome back, everybody. Farzetta and Trey in the morning. 610-632-0975. 610-632-0975. We do have a pair of tickets to give away. Anybody a boxing fan? You want to go to the Met in Philly, of course, right on Broad Street, featuring welterweight Malik Hawkins taking on the battle-tested Fabian Lemieux Friday, April 26th at the Met. Tickets available at Philly at themetphilly.com. That's themetphilly.com. We're also giving away a pair today on the show. You a fight fan? Let me know. We'll send you to the Met. You can enjoy yourself a little bit. Bring some fine conversation to the table.
If I'm a boxer, I don't want battle-tested to be the word to describe me.
What's wrong with battle-tested?
It means you got your ass kicked a lot, in my book. But I don't know.
That's the nicest thing they could say about you? Not like the undefeated, undisputed.
Yeah.
The battle-tested. How'd he do in those tests? Oh, he failed. Okay.
Battling that great sparring partner.
I guess. I don't know.
No, I'm teasing. He is battle-tested.
Bottom line is, it's going to be a great fight, Bob.
Yes, it will. I love good boxing.
I love the Met. How about that?
Yo, the Met's a great place.
Absolutely.
And the way the seats hang over, I can imagine the ring right there. Yeah, like not a bad seat in the house.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. It's some good stuff right there. We were getting a lot into, obviously, with the 76ers winning last night up 2-1 in the series. We really do have the question out there as to whether or not you want Joel Embiid to play further in this series. Because the team that we saw last night, as I made the point yesterday, this was going to be the game that you were going to do the proverbial cut your heart out type game. No matter how hard they tried their best, the Brooklyn Nets, they tried their best to have a little edge in this game. They went out there and they talked up stories like the elbow from Jared Allen, from Joel Embiid, and they went out there and said that was going to be a big thing in this one. Jared Dudley went out there and talked about Ben Simmons being average in the half court and all that. And the Sixers, you know what? The Sixers ended up being the team with the edge. My point yesterday was that this was going to be the game where the Nets were going to throw everything they possibly could, everything they had at the Sixers. And if the Sixers withstand that and could control the game, which they did, they would take the rest of the series. And that's exactly what they're going to do in this series. Because you know what else I've noticed in this series? We talked about it earlier. Not only are players like Ben Simmons really stepping up, and Tobias Harris yesterday really stepping up, and JoJo played great in his time.
Mm-hmm.
And by the way, how about this? Back-to-back games, JoJo, no threes, not bad. But here's the deal in this game. In this particular game last night, what I noticed the most was, aside from the obvious, the way the players were playing, Brett Brown, I have never seen him this animated on a basketball court.
Totally agree.
He's never on the sideline. He's on the court.
Yeah. It's like he almost got run over one time last night.
I didn't see that part, really.
Yeah, he really did. He came out. The ball was coming down. I don't know who had the ball, but he was out on the floor, and I was like, oh. I thought the referee was kind of backpedaling or running, you know, how they look back while they're running, as you know, being a former standout referee yourself.
Yeah, right.
I thought either the referee or the ball was going to get to Brett last night. Yeah, that's how. But you're right. Everybody knows I covered him for so long. I've never seen him this animated on the sideline coaching. And before he had the halftime tirade the other day, right before then, it was building because you saw a defensive lapse, and he was screaming. And the Daily News had a great picture yesterday in the middle of it. He was screaming at his players that he was ticked off that they were a little lazy on a high pick and roll again that led to an open jump shot. And he carried that into the locker room and apparently, you know, pasted them pretty good, and it looks like it worked.
No, he lost the locker room, Bob.
Yeah, that's right. I forgot.
Stop spinning that narrative.
Have you seen the TNT, NBA on TNT? Animation they did with Ben Simmons.
Nah.
One of his throwdowns last night.
Nah. Did they put the angry steam out of the nose emoji face on him?
No, they didn't do that. They have a J.J. Redick miss and the follow-up from Ben Simmons jam, and they have, like, fire in his eyes and all that stuff. It looks like something...
We got action here in the center!
It looks like something out of NBA Jam. I just retweeted it.
Right.
It's pretty incredible. And I just tweeted Ben Simmons average. Quote unquote. Jared Dudley, after saying that, like, it's one thing, like Lance Stevenson, when he would pick fights with guys, it was like, all right, well, Lance Stevenson's crazy. I'm not messing with this guy. Jared Dudley sucks. Like, he just flat out sucks. And he wants to throw shade. Ha ha, Trey's not here today. He wants to throw shade at Ben Simmons in this game before the game. Wants to put a little light of fire under Ben Simmons. Didn't they learn that's a bad idea from game two?
That was when you asked what my favorite Ben Simmons play was last night. I should have said my favorite Ben Simmons moment was when Jared Dudley was crying to the referees and Ben Simmons is like pulling up on his arm sleeve and he looks over at him and just starts laughing like, get out of here, dude. You know, he trolled him last night. Arms up on the air ball.
That was a good gift.
That was great.
Yeah.
The arms up move was fantastic. And Zumoff hit him with the... Well, that was a below-average half-court shot from Jared Dudley.
And I went, Zumoff! Yeah! Zinger!
Allah got him later in the game,
Oh, they got
too.
Him like three or four times.
Oh, he's doing that well in the half-court partner. Yeah. How about that? He got him with the line like that, and then he had another half-court reference from Jared Dudley saying Ben Simmons can't play in the half-court. He had another half-court reference by saying, and I believe that was in the half-court.
Yeah, he did.
Not too bad.
I love a good partner.
Allah drops that in.
He works it well.
Oh, yeah, he does. It's not like
partner.
It's not like toolish.
Yeah.
And by the way, speaking of tools, and not Allah Abdinabi, but I'm saying some people that force that in, toolish, Allah does it to perfection.
Yeah.
But speaking of tools, we do have to do our first ever Hollins Hardware Tool of the Week. And I don't know if there's anybody.
That's the best segue I've heard since I've been in this business.
You know, I have a gift, as some people might say.
I think this one's wrapped up and presented nicely on a silver platter.
I believe it was over Tuesday.
Yeah.
And Chris Sheridan, who...
Oh, I was actually going to go Jared Dudley.
Oh, no.
Sheridan,
Sheridan's bigger tool.
Yeah.
Don't ask the bad boy of sports journalism about Chris Sheridan. You get all fired up.
So there's a report that came out yesterday that he was fired. A couple of reports. And we had heard something, but we didn't have anything confirmed.
Yeah.
So we just want to throw it out there. You know, look at Chris Sheridan. And apparently he has not, according to him, he has not been fired or he has not been whatever. He was a contributor to the New York Daily News. He wasn't a regular writer, right? So he hasn't been quote-unquote fired.
He's a freelancer. So right. Do freelancers get fired or do they just not get work anymore?
I think it's called descheduling.
Yes. I've seen that happen before. And you're like, oh, where did so-and-so go? Oh, he's just not working here anymore.
Do not need to freelance for us going further. Yeah.
I thought you were reading a tweet.
No,
phone in your hand.
Well,
and I'm like,
I'm
what?
Looking to see if there's anything, if there's any more of an update.
I checked last night and I checked before the show.
Yeah, so did I, but I didn't know if anything else came about this morning.
That's an early firing.
You won't hear him no more.
Hey, can you wake your ass up at 6:30 and get in here? Okay, I know what's happening.
Well, if I'm ticked at somebody and I need to fire them, I'm going to make it the most inconvenient for them because they're the ones that let me down. So,
well, okay.
Why not?
Well, if it did happen.
If I'm up at 6:30, guess what? You're getting up too so I can take your job.
Well, you know what? If it did happen, then it would be a good Friday. Come on! Come on!
Wow. Wow. I see what you did there.
I'm burning in hell for that one. As promised, every hour, bottom of the hour, we will get to the highlights from last night's game. It's called by Tom McGinnis last night in Brooklyn, with the Sixers going up 2-0 in a game, or 2-1, excuse me, in a game that featured Tobias Harris, 29 points, 6-for-6 from 3-point land, 31 from Ben Simmons, 11-13 shooting, the best field goal percentage, I believe, in playoff history by a player with 30-plus points by a 76er. How about that? And then also, J.J. Redick getting it done with 34 minutes played, 7-17 from the field, 5-9 from 3, 26 points, not too shabby, and Jimmy Butler getting involved as well. Another 7-assist game for him and 16 points, but here's how it sounded.
Can we just talk about what an awful teammate Jimmy Butler is and how he's so grumpy and miserable not putting up stat lines?
Can we just cut him?
What a terrible dude.
He's a locker room poison. I don't know how
he was all happy after game two and he only had 7 points.
I can't believe they're winning these games with Jimmy Butler being the clubhouse
in spite
poison,
of him, frankly,
and evidently Brett Brown being guy that lost the team.
Disgusting.
It's a miracle they're doing anything. Here you go, folks. The sounds of last night's game is called by Tom McGinnis right here on 97.5 The Fanatic.
Simmons in the lane. Simmons on an angle around Kuruks. Difficult angle, but he gets it on the run. And Ben Simmons scores it. Here's Ben back down low. Ben into the lane with a right-hand layup. It's good. Tobias Harris to the line. Another three. It's good again. Tobias Harris from Long Island. Feeling it here in Brooklyn. Sixes go up by 8. Jimmy Butler comes to get it. Now they go to Boban at 16 feet. Marjanovic puts it up and good again. Sixers lead by 11. Sixers ball. Simmons to Redick. JJ for 3. Bucket. All net. Quick release. Basketball sniper. Redick knocks it in. Here's a jump hook by Ben and in. Difficult shot by Ben Simmons. Swooping to left to right with a skyhook. 7-8 for Simmons. 6 seconds to go in the first half. Butler to Redick. JJ turns. Fires. Ribby no rebound slam. Ben Simmons. And he flexes for his teammates along the bench. Simmons slam. Sixers into the front court. Simmons down to Tobias. Lamp up. Gun and a foul. Tobias Harris puts it in. Timeout Brooklyn. Here's Jared Dudley for 3. Air ball. And you can hear it all the way from Philly. Dudley done. Air ball. And when he dribbles it, almost lost it out of bounds. Has to jump. He throws it back. And the Sixers steal the ball. Ahead to Betty. Head into the lane. Oh, yeah. Ben Simmons soars. And a two-hand stop. Ennis to Boban. Down to Jimmy. Butler surrounded by 3 men. Bumped out of bounds. He kicks it out to Tobias. Off balance. 3 ball right side. That's good. What a shot by Tobias Harris. A triple from the right perimeter. And the Sixers have gone up by 9. 2:53 to go in the ballgame. They inbound. Oh, they throw it right to Ben Simmons. On to Jimmy for the jam. Game 3 is headed for the Sixers.
Just spectacular yesterday. And you know what? The good vibes are flowing today. Things are nice. We're all having a nice time thus far. Our man Trey, unfortunately, is not here. Otherwise, the times would be even more fun. You know, he'd be trying to get to the bottom of who's the guy that farted on the Sixers bench. Because that's the thing that matters, folks. And then I got this guy Timbo tweeting me right now saying,
I still think I'm going with the shooter on the grassy knoll theory. That guy in the second row, I didn't like the cut of his gib. Jib? What was it saying?
I've never. What?
Cut of the gib? Jib?
What's he talking about?
I blacked out. I don't know what happened. Sorry.
Give me the Beer Fest line again. Anyway, Timbo tweets me, Ben Simmons scored 31 points and didn't shoot. Not impressed. Did he not see the baby hooks? Did he not see those adorable, cute little baby hooks?
So wait, next to the 31 points, do they put an asterisk in the box score saying none scored from outside of 10 feet?
Yeah, I don't think they do that,
31
Bob.
Point, okay.
I don't think they do that, Bob. Look, I love that part of the. He needs to develop that part of his game. I've been a champion of that cause, and I'm not saying it's not true. But he is surviving with that baby hook, and that's something that he has been using more and more, and I saw it more than a few times last night. That's lethal. I mean, if he gets that to go so many different times like he did last night, I'll take that for now as well, because you know what? It's not a dunk. It's not a layup.
I'm reeling you in.
What?
I said this about 6 months ago. Remember?
What?
I said if he can become like that 80% shooter from 5 feet on in, it makes you forget a little bit about the 8-10 footer to 10-12 footer that he can't shoot.
Oh, no, no, no. I still remember. But this is, I'm seeing more of the baby hook.
That's what I'm saying. If he develops that game,
No. Don't you reel in.
You're coming to me.
Jamie, look at this. Yeah. He's actually doing the pantomime reeling in. No. You're not reeling
in,
Bob.
I think he's trying to reel the soft white bread off the top of the roof of his mouth because he doesn't toast his bread like a psycho.
You guys are incorrigible. You guys are incorrigible.
Is it 9 and 10 o'clock yet?
Scott, West Deptford, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. What's up, Scott?
Hey, what's up, guys? How you doing? Just a couple quick things. I think Ben Simmons looked the most relaxed he's ever looked in any Sixers game last night. It was just a great thing to see. And to go back to Mark's point about Monroe, standing at the top of the key all alone, that happened again. But instead of shooting the ball, he stood there and looked to pass the ball for like a minute, and then he finally threw it to a triple team at Tobias.
Mm-hmm. No worries, man. Thanks for the call. I appreciate it.
Kidding me?
What? What's the problem, Bob?
Oh, you didn't shoot a jumper last night from 15 feet and threw it into a triple team. God, it was the worst play of the game.
It was pretty terrible.
Seriously? I put out a tweet last night that said, where's my Ben Simmons' soft people at? And I actually had a couple people ballsy enough to say, I'm still here. Until he shows me this on a nightly basis. Are you nuts? What? He just answered adversity twice in the face with a triple-double and an 11 from 13 from the field night where he was stellar defensively.
And you want to get in my face about it?
Yeah, and like I don't get that.
I don't know.
Is that unique to us? Are we like people that eat their own? What's wrong with us?
I hate people. I hate when people will look at a player, judge him immediately, and not break from
that opinion.
And no matter what, like even you're 22 years old, you're already an all-star, and you mean to tell me you don't think this kid's going to improve?
I had a guy tell me that his 4% percentage increase in free throws this year is basically a wash. It doesn't count. So I was like, let me get this right. He wasn't supposed to improve 4% this year from the line? That's what you're saying?
People's agendas, man.
It's unbelievable.
You gotta be flexible.
Enjoy what's in front of you.
People are jerks. What can I say?
Enjoy it.
Now, I didn't think we'd have to go here today, but evidently the president of the Greg Monroe fan club, Bob Cooney over here, he actually produced this. He put this together. It's the Greg Monroe highlight reel. Did you produce this, Bob?
Sure.
We put this together along with Greg Monroe's favorite song from his senior prom. Here we go.
Sixers to Simmons, going right at Jared Allen. Into the lane, Greg. Left-hand shot by Monroe is good. Another nice tip by the Sixers in the lane. Ben Simmons lays it off for Greg Monroe, and Monroe puts it in. Monroe with the rebound. Monroe runs the floor, goes in, and scores it on Jared Dudley. Monroe making an impact at both ends of the floor.
This is called the Alley Cat. Good old ragtime, I believe. It was moving gingerly throughout the game. Missing layups left and right. And you, Bob, in his defense, keep bringing up the what? 6 rebounds he had offensively?
6 offensive rebounds.
5 of them were his own missed layups,
probably.
Bob.
Yeah.
Attempted putbacks.
Don't you brag about that. I've never seen somebody get a pass right in their hands, right where it should be, with a wide open layup in front of them and bobble it more than I saw Greg Monroe do last night.
You know, when you're driving around, remember Tom-Toms, the directional things? And it would go recalculating. Right?
No, I don't remember.
You remember, Jamie, you remember this.
Of course.
Yeah.
Okay.
When Greg Monroe...
Right after MapQuest.
That was the step up. Yeah. And it would go recalculating.
And it would take like 3 minutes.
Yeah, and then meanwhile, you're already lost.
Yeah, I'm in a lake like Mike Scott.
A 12-minute turn! So I'm watching him in the paint last night, and I'm watching him hold the ball, and I'm looking at his face, and his face, you know what it's saying to me? Recalculating. No idea where he was going. 610-632-0975. And I'm like, you're 7 foot up. Just go up. And he misses the layup. 610-632-0975. Coming up, top of the hour, we're going to talk to our man, Devon Givens.
Now, you said we're going to talk to your mom.
My mom, like, Eleanor? Wow. She's busy.
Already texted us.
Eileen Lynch, huge fan of Eleanor now.
If we ever put them in the same room together, that'll be dangerous.
Lights
man.
Out.
Oh, it'll be dangerous. You might get my mom to babysit every once in a while. She loves the babies. My mom is what they call a baby hog. She's like, no, you ain't getting
Bob's
that.
Got a little of that in him.
I love that.
You love holding the baby?
I'm the baby holder.
I give my 10 minutes of bonding, and then it's over.
Nah, I can hold him with the best of them.
Let me rest your arms for a minute, and then next thing I know, my mom's swooping in, taking the baby. 610-632-0975. Coming up, we're going to let you hear from J.J. Redick about the communication between he and Brett Brown during the game, and then we will get a little bit more into Jared Dudley and that little non-rivalry rivalry spat that he tried to get into with Ben Simmons. We got Bill in Philly. We got open lines after that. 610-632-0975. Like I said, top of the hour, we're going to talk to Devon Givens of 97.5 The Fanatic. He'll be hosting with Jamie Lynch and Bob Cooney over the weekend to get you ready for Sixers action in Game 4 of this playoff series. Time of the Fanatic, 8:41.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Hey everybody, I got a guy right now who has on Twitter, he goes by the handle Mickey Mantle, and he's ripping me, telling me how much we suck and all that fun stuff.
Uh-huh.
He also told me how much I don't know basketball yesterday because I said the Sixers were going to win, and he's like, the Nets are a lock tonight. So I'm just quoting his tweet. I'm not even quoting his tweet. I'm just tweeting his tweet back to him. And yep, enjoy yourself there, home slice. I love people that just can't form thoughts. They're adorable. There's a interesting thought that came out of Jameel Hill on Twitter, and Pat Egan was at a little back and forth. It looked like there. It was about Roy. I was looking. Why is Roy Hobbs trending?
Oh, what happened?
Roy Hobbs, the character from The Natural, was trending.
Great movie. Jamie, guess movie. What? I saw that movie. All right,
proud of you, Bob.
All right,
Roy Hobbs is is trending on Twitter right now, and she asked, "What is your biggest or greatest what if?" From a sports movie. And it came up because Roy Hobbs, what if Roy Hobbs was never shot? Mm. That's trending.
What if Judge Schmales made that putt?
Was that the greatest game ever played, or is that what is that? Oh no, that's Caddyshack. Oh geez, what am I thinking? Yeah.
What if Squints never faked drowning in the pool?
That's right.
Probably wouldn't have wound up.
Doesn't have all those peppercorn. Kids.
That's probably the best one out there. Yeah. That is right there. Is probably the best one. Interesting question, though.
Pat had a good one with the Booby Miles from Friday Night Lights.
That is a good one. Yeah. That is a good one. I said, what if Kevin Costner never made those trades in draft day? Then the movie would never have happened. And then I would have to sit through the crap that was that movie. Bill, Philly, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. What's up, Bill?
Hiya, yeah, Mark.
Yo.
Hey, Jamie. It's Brett Brown calling from Brooklyn.
This isn't terrible, Bill. This isn't terrible. Go ahead.
I just wanted to put out a statement about the issue on the bench yesterday. We had a little flatulence issue. I got a little excited on the bench running up and down with all my emotion. I apologize for the issue. I promise it won't happen again, and we'll get the win in Game 4. I promise. I'm proud of Tobias the way he played. He had a smorgasbord of threes. I can't complain about that. And just wanted to wish you guys a happy Friday.
It was
Friday.
A smorgasbord.
And I hope you guys have a pleasant rest of the day, and God bless.
Thanks very much, brother. Bill, Brett, I'm sorry. Thanks for calling in. Great having you on, as always.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
Not terrible.
Okay. Not
good
at all. No,
I'll give it to him.
He really is a gifted scorer.
I'll give it to him.
The kid is a baller.
Not terrible.
It was a smorgasbord.
I totally forgot he said smorgasbord. I do enjoy a fine smorgasbord. I've never really seen a smorgasbord, but I know people reference it a lot.
It's kind of like a charcuterie board.
And what is that?
Meats and cheeses.
Oh, like a. Oh, okay. Yeah. So like a
charcuterie board is technically a smorgasbord of apps.
Go. Okay, go figure.
Sure.
All right, now speaking of Brett Brown, the communication with he and his players is just off the charts right now. It's phenomenal. Brett Brown, I want to let you hear Brett Brown after the game talking about that communication that happens, and guys like J.J. Redick and Tobias Harris and Jimmy Butler that are able to kind of draw a place for themselves and also swap ideas with their head coach.
One of our timeouts, where I came back with the notion, and they said, that's fine, but we think this. I said, let's do both back-to-back. And I think that, you know, to listen to JJ and Tobias and Jimmy, you know, carrying on a conversation on the bench, it was high level, like, you know, pros talking to pros. And I thought that those three, to your point, you know, we've already discussed Ben, I thought that they were exceptional tonight.
Those guys helping each other out. J.J. Redick talked about the same thing. They had Brett Brown talk first, per usual. Then the players came out. Well, first they went to Bobby in the locker room on NBC Sports Philadelphia for the post game. Then J.J. Redick, J.J. Redick, Ben Simmons, and Tobias Harris took to the podium as well, the table they were set up there. And J.J. Redick also was asked about the communication between his teammates and his head coach.
I think, you know, coach-player relationship is a two-way thing. And, you know, you have to be willing to take suggestions as a player and vice versa. You know, in the course of a game, a player might see something differently than a coach sees it, and a coach might see something differently than a player sees it, and you have to be able to communicate that. And, you know, I think as we've sort of grown as a group, you know, I've been here 2 years, Ben played here 2 years, you know, obviously Joel three, the rest of our guys over the last few months, you know, I think that communication has really improved. You know, there was an example tonight where we saw something on the floor. We went to him during the next timeout. We set something up as players. We hit back-to-back threes off, you know, basically our reads, our set pieces.
Lost the locker room, huh?
Yeah, looks like it.
Lost the locker room, huh? Didn't think so. For just more evidence, the evidence continues to mount. And as we pointed out earlier, our tool of the week from Hollins Hardware is our boy Chris Sheridan, who, by the way, never got back to us about coming on with us. If he wasn't fired from the Daily News, then he can't come on with us?
Yeah.
And by the way, I'm done with it. Like, this is the end of it.
Yeah.
There's no
further. We gave him his chance.
Yeah, exactly.
See ya.
It's over, is how that works, unfortunately for him. But I do want to ask this question.
No, not unfortunately.
I do want to ask this question because it does. I'm not reaching for a negative here. It is something that just crossed my mind, and I want to know how long I need to be concerned about this.
All right. What do you got?
Ben Simmons seems to need a kick in his butt to get going.
Nah.
Okay. The boo, he gets booed by the hometown crowd, right? Comes out next with a triple-double. Gets a little fiery from Jared Dudley, calls him average. He goes on, and Jamie, give me the numbers again in the half court if you have those.
He was 9 of 11 from the field in half court sets, 2 of 2 in transition for an amazing night of 11 of 13 from the field. I shouldn't have said amazing. I should have said average. 11 of 13 from the field.
That's about.
Did you say earlier it was the highest field goal percentage in Sixers playoff history?
Sixers playoff history.
With someone scoring 30 points, right?
30 points,
yeah.
30 okay. plus points.
Sounds pretty average.
Yeah, it's 30 plus points. Oh, and it's also the greatest performance of anyone ever with Greg Monroe playing as their center. So go figure. That's just how you know that it's a... Stop. It's just how you know it's a good thing right there. But when I'm looking at it, I don't want him to have that. I'm hoping that's just a matter of him being young and needing a little bit of an edge, because I give him credit for this when it comes to trash talk from other players. He doesn't care. He cares enough to where it does motivate him. But as far as the, like, Joel Embiid will get caught up in the talk. He'll get caught up in the emotion. He'll get caught up in the show and the drama. Ben Simmons just wants to kill you. Like, Ben Simmons is that silent assassin. Ben Simmons is the guy that you're like going off on. You're yelling and screaming in his face, and he's just standing there. One punch, you're done.
Yeah. Like did you see the one play last night? They called a foul on him from behind. It was down near the basket. He didn't really foul him at all. He got ball, and he kind of like threw his hands up and like showed emotion for like the rare instance. And this old man on the sidelines, he was sitting over near Michael Rubin, one of the owners of the Sixers, actually, started like laughing at Ben Simmons, you know, allegedly crying at the ref.
Uh-huh.
And Ben just kind of gave him a look like, you're laughing at me, you chump. Like, he didn't say anything, but he totally just dismantled this man.
We couldn't figure it out, but was it Nurkic who he said, Ben,
pretty
for
sure.
A guy whose game is ass, you talk a lot.
But like this old man on the sidelines was mocking him, and he just gave him this look of like, bro, you kidding me? I got 31 points out here. I'm dominating this game.
I didn't see that, but was it like
the classic?
Was it like the Russell Westbrook, the guy giving him a double barrels at Wells Fargo Center?
Yeah.
He's like, what the hell?
Yeah, look at this guy. He's laughing at me.
Coming up, we're going to talk to Devon Givens, of course, of 97.5 The Fanatic. He does a lot of evening shows here. Sixers coverage for us as well. He'll be doing the show. It's
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.